Welcome to our fourth podcast.
Wow, we made it past one.
Right, that is shocking, isn't it? We're getting a little more familiar with this. Yeah, we're a little late recording this one due to coming off the holidays and scheduling conflicts, but here we are and excited to share the mics with Brian and Michelle Prince.
Princes.
Right. We're looking forward to this.
We are.
One of the purposes, as you know, those who listen to the podcast, is to give the church opportunity to hear the stories from couples within our church. The Princes are new members, and we're excited that they have also agreed to serve on the marriage ministry team.
Yeah, they're a great addition to that ministry.
Right, so, they sure are. Yeah. We're going to hear a little more later on about what we're doing there on the ministry team. Just a couple fun facts before we get into our interview with them. Michelle makes a mean chili.
And Brian makes an incredible cheesecake.
Yes, he does.
And you should see these cheesecakes. You could sell them in stores.
He totally could. Yeah. In a bakery. Absolutely. It's pretty fun. So, with that.
We're glad that they're joining us. Welcome, Brian and Michelle Prince, to the mics.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're very excited to have you here. How did you meet?
So, first.
Good start.
They're looking at each other, by the way.
Yes.
Well, we came from different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Michelle from New England, from Connecticut,
okay.
and I from Michigan.
Okay.
So we were already in different, I don't know what you would call that. There's a lot of difference between the Midwest and New England.
Yeah, there is. And, there absolutely is. Yeah.
And so.
I thought he had an accent and he thought I had an accent.
Yeah. We're told that all the time.
It's a big change for us coming from the West to here. So in a good way.
So we met in Virginia in college, and I had come to college sight unseen, Michelle was already living in Virginia with her family. Mm-hmm. I guess your senior year in high school, you came down.
Yeah, my family moved from Connecticut. Oh, okay. My dad sold his business in Connecticut and moved to Lynchburg, Virginia to go to seminary because he decided at 50-something he wanted to be a pastor.
Wow.
So that's we uprooted. Awesome. It was sort of awesome.
Yeah, not for a high schooler.
Well, I was
for
going
him.
In my senior year of high school.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Absolutely.
It was a hard transition. It was a cultural transition moving from New England to Central Virginia,
right.
Very southern.
Right.
Just a different culture.
Right.
You know,
right.
I wasn't prepared for all that, but it was all good.
Yeah.
I look back and I see how God directed that and was working in my life specifically. I'm sure my parents and my brother too. So a lot going on there. But then I finished high school there and I just went on to Liberty, and Brian came down that fall and we met in a weird way.
Yeah. I came down to Liberty sight unseen. I had been working.
So you knew nothing about Liberty.
Nothing about the school at all. Only that it had a television, radio, and film major that I wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
And so I packed up my stuff. I drove down in my little Chevy Vega.
Oh, I remember that. And I had a friend that had one.
And got to the church, actually, where the check-in registration was happening. And I was given the choice of either living in a place downtown that was kind of a makeshift dormitory, or living in someone's one of the church members' homes.
Hmm.
And the reason for this was that the school was still being built and they had not met their deadline for the start of
school. So this is the early phases of Liberty expanding.
Yes. On the mountain that they called.
Right.
So the dorms weren't completed and they said it would be about 3 more weeks. And they asked families in the church to host students.
That's nice. Great.
And the 3 weeks turned into 3 months.
Wow. Yeah, of course.
So my option of living with a family from the church was taken. And I thought I was just going to be the lone student in this, you know, one home. Well, it turns out that Michelle's dad had agreed to taking in 10 students.
Oh, surprise.
And it was a surprise to me, too. My parents never told me they were doing this.
Oh, no.
No, they didn't. I found out a very surprising way. I came home from work one night. I was working at the grocery store at Kroger. Had the midnight shift. I got off at midnight, came home, probably got home about 12:30, and the house was strangely different. I walked in, and there was a parlor on the right and with pocket doors that were always open, and the pocket doors were closed. I noticed it right away, but I didn't think too much about it because I was tired. I wanted to get to bed. I go upstairs, and there's somebody in the bathroom, and the door opens, and a Chinese man walked out of the bathroom in his boxer shorts and disappeared into my brother's room.
You're like, I'm in the wrong house. I'm
That's
sure.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. That was my first thought. Oh, I went into the wrong house, which had me in a panic.
Right? Oh my goodness.
And then after a few seconds, which probably felt like minutes passed, I gathered my senses. I was like, no, this is my house. Now I've got another problem to deal with.
How could your parents not tell you?
I don't know.
10, 11? Oh, my
yes,
goodness.
10 students.
Wow. Yeah. So, needless to say, I was one of the 10.
Yeah. Right.
You weren't the one in the boxers, though.
No. No. I was, I was sleeping in a sunroom off of one of the other houses.
Off of my brother's bedroom. Which is where the man in the boxer shorts disappeared into.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is he going into my brother's room?
And they had bunk beds set up in there. There was triple bunks set up downstairs
in that parlor. This is why the pocket doors were closed.
Sure.
So we basically just slept at the house. We had eating arrangements off, on, not really, it wasn't on campus, elsewhere.
Yeah.
So Michelle's parents didn't have to feed the crew. But
yeah, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But we ended up studying in the dining room around their table, and
You, Michelle, with 10 guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my younger brother, so 11 guys. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, actually.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It was an old Georgian home. I don't know what era it was built, but it had a butler's pantry, and it had a little service bell in the floor at the dining room, and everybody found out about that, and my mother would be in the kitchen and they'd start ringing that bell.
Unappreciated.
We had fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Since I had a car, I was driving from there and going on campus for classes and elsewhere. So Michelle started hitching a ride with me because we had an 8 a.m. class, I think, each day.
And chaperone.
No chaperone.
No.
No.
And in the days of that school, that was pretty important.
That was taboo, actually.
Right. Yeah,
not
right.
to have the chaperone.
That's so true.
The rules
they
were
had
pretty
some
strict
strong,
in that day.
Yes,
yes they did.
Right.
Yeah.
So we joke about one instance of coming on campus in my car.
Are you going to tell that story? Okay.
I'm already there now. We're writing together, and just us, and the guard. He had to go through a guard shack to get on campus, and he questioned us being, you know, writing together, and Michelle leaned over from the passenger seat and told him, "It's okay."
No, you said that. I didn't say it.
Oh,
you're remembering your story differently.
Anyway, we said, "It's okay. We're living together."
I did not come up with that one.
Did he actually let you in?
I drove off before any reaction. Yeah.
I think he was too shocked to react.
Yeah, that was a joke, right?
Yeah, that was a joke. Well, we were living in the same house.
You were, technically. Yeah.
Not so. The way it was implied.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So that's how you met. So
this is how we met. I don't even really actually remember the moment or the day I met you, because there were 10 different guys and I was meeting them all at different times.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a clear recollection about that specific. Yeah. But I do remember riding to school together
riding
in the mornings. And
we started playing tennis together.
You decided I need to learn how to play tennis.
Mm. So enough that you're spending more time together.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously you're married.
Three years later, we were married. 3 years
you're riding together?
No.
No.
No, they stayed at our house for about 3 months.
That's right.
And then he moved on to campus.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I felt that even with Mark and I. It was how we came together was we had an environment where we really got to know each other before, you know, jumping into anything.
It was 3 years.
It was nice.
Got something in common.
Right. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, so how long have you been married?
We are coming up on 44 years.
That's awesome.
Wow. So praise God for that. Yeah.
That is applauded. Yeah. Really beautiful. Any children?
We have 3 children. Our youngest son lives in Hawaii. He's serving in the Navy. So that's how he ended up in Hawaii.
Nice.
And then our middle is Erin, who goes to church here. Mm-hmm. She and her family, Andrew and the 4 boys.
Right.
They live in Kensington and they worship here.
Right.
And then our oldest son and his family live in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. With the first granddaughter.
Yes.
That's right. Because you've got.
We have 5 grandchildren, 4 boys and 1 girl.
Yeah. Nice amazing. To have that little girl, right?
It is. Yeah. She just lives too far away.
Right.
Yeah, family is so good. All right, so what do you both like to do together? Anything you can't do together?
What a fun question.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll start out with the things we like to do together. we like to paddle together. We have I built a canoe 25 years ago.
You built it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we've been paddling that ever since. We like to hike. We like pretty much all things outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
We like home improvement projects. We like to cook together.
Yeah.
Oh, good
like
for
to
you.
Entertain.
So would you think you have the gift of hospitality? Is there something like that?
Maybe.
Does it come natural when you host?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. We experienced
and doing it together. That is, I think that's really kind of a big deal.
It is. When a couple can do that, share the responsibilities and stuff, and it just makes it all complete. All right, what can't you do together?
Well, I think one of the big things is we can't shop together.
Oh, we have heard this from other couples.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was like,
yes,
people know
right.
about us.
Did you know the princes can't shop together?
Do they run into us somewhere?
They're around the corner fighting.
I'm starting to think that's us.
We're getting close to that.
Yeah, because it's just like, could you please just keep the cart near me? I don't want to be carrying the food all the way down the aisle.
That's true.
Well, ours is, I think, kind of a philosophy. When I'm shopping, I tend to look at price before
of course that's
before anything else. And you know, if the price is right, then I can decide whether I like it or not.
Or sometimes he likes it just because of the price and not because of the item.
Yes.
I'm with you, Brian.
We just had the same situation. I'm like, all of a sudden you want it because it was cheaper?
Yeah.
Father of the bride, cheaper chicken. If anyone's seen the movie, you know what I'm saying.
So is it a guy thing?
It's a guy thing.
I don't know.
Not always. I mean, us guys, let's be honest, we will spend money if it's something we really want, but if it's something that's just not on our radar, we go to the price tag right away.
Right.
No, I'm not speaking for everyone. That's just I should speak.
Right. So I don't want to look at the price tag. I want to look at. I mean, eventually I do. It's not that price isn't important.
Right.
I'm not willing to spend extravagantly on everything, but I want to just look at the item, see if I like it, decide whether I like it before I know the price.
Right. Right.
You know, and then move from there.
Right.
I don't know.
And sometimes seeing that price makes you go,
I don't
like it that much.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
All right. What brought you both to our church, to Hampton Falls First Baptist Church?
So we're new here,
right?
In New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Actually, I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary here, and I say it mine because Brian moved up before I did.
Right.
Okay.
So,
so you are new.
We are new. We've been here a year, and so that means in this church a year together.
So you started coming to the church right after.
Well, Brian was already coming to the church.
Okay.
He was up here in September of 22, and I moved up in January of 23 after we sold our home in Maryland. That's why I stayed behind.
Right.
Not because there were marital issues.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear.
Yeah. Don't want any rumors to spread.
Right.
So our, you know, our priority was to find a church that, like the one we came from, was Bible-believing and just solid scriptural teaching. And once we came here to Hampton Falls, it was like, wow.
Did you visit a lot of churches?
No.
Yeah,
we had been attending. Well, I had been attending with Aaron's family, another church in Exeter, and it came pretty apparent quickly that this wasn't for us.
Yeah.
Well, we're very glad you're here.
Really?
We are too.
We are too.
It's such a blessing.
Sincerely.
To have you guys. Yeah. All right, a little bit more serious question. Can you share a time in your marriage that you know you would not have made it without the Lord? And how did he meet you there?
You want to start or you want to let me too?
Well, this was a lot of discussion with us, but you can start. You
know. Okay. Yes, we can think. That's the short answer. and the explanation is that we got married young. I was 21, because that's young, and Brian was 24. And we both came into the marriage with baggage that we didn't let the other know about, that we just decided to think we were dealing with put in the past.
I hear you.
And let's move on.
Yep.
And that worked for a while. And then, things start to unravel and the truth comes out, and we were forced to deal with it,
That's a way, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was good. It was good, but it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah.
You want to add anything to that?
Yeah. Well, just that you say it was extremely hard. I mean, it came to the point where, our marriage was at a point that it might not last.
Yeah.
And
did you have any marriage counseling?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
We really didn't either.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that most likely would have helped.
Yeah.
Yeah, for certain. But
God stepped in. you know.
Yeah.
He brought us to the point where I want you to deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, things were exposed. I mean, it required repentance and asking forgiveness from me to Michelle and to God, of course. And I found that forgiveness from Michelle was gracious.
And you with me wasn't just one-sided. It was, it's all around. You know,
it is.
Always two people.
Yeah.
You know, or more.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah, it is so good being believers, as being married, and how these situations hopefully draw us closer to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, as we want to bring the gospel into the center just of every part of our life, it then gives us the ability, I think, in a certain way, to feel or experience God's grace, and how much grace that He has shown us, and then we get to show grace to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only in marriage most of the time that is surfaced.
Yeah. I think that's what makes marriage hard and beautiful at the same time, because when you do come out on the other side of that, there's no words to express how good it feels to be lifted and move into a different part of the relationship. Because we definitely struggled with that too. In our first podcast, we just couldn't communicate. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so simple, but it became an issue. Mm-hmm. I was pushing, Mark was pulling back,
closing my doors,
and it just kept building to the point where I'm irate when I'm talking to him, you know, and you end up saying things that are not helpful to each other, and he's just removing himself even more, and just like you said, you just push it aside, you just until you've got a problem where it's like, I'm not even sure I like this person.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I even want to stay here. And God goes, well, I got other plans.
Yes,
if you're willing.
That's right.
Yeah. And we see the fruit of it in both you guys now. So that's definitely a blessing. So.
We're thankful. We're thankful for the way that He has been with us through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so patient. He's so patient.
Amen. All right.
He's for us.
Anything else you want to share? Is that good?
That's good.
It is good.
Good.
All right. How does or has relationships with other believers made an impact on your marriage over the years?
We were close friends with a couple that got married 2 weeks after or prior to us. I don't know. We were married around the same time, and I met Carol. I'm talking about Ricky and Carol. And I met Carol in the laundromat, and we just struck up a conversation, and they ended up coming over for dinner, I think that night or the next night.
So you have the gift of evangelism.
I do not. I do not feel like I have the gift of evangelism. But they struggled in their marriage, and they ended up getting divorced. And that was hard. To watch them go through that.
For sure.
But it kind of encouraged us to work closely together. We didn't really discuss this, but it just came to mind. So
it's all right, go with it. I love it.
So that was one marriage that was kind of like a cautionary tale to us.
Yeah.
And then you were going to talk about Russ and Sue.
Yeah, Russ and Sue were an older couple that Michelle worked with Sue in a couple different areas. One at the school, and the other in her. She was an English smocker.
Let's not get into that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was just going to ask, what is that?
It's sewing.
Oh, okay, smocking.
Yeah.
You do have an accent.
Yeah. Well, I think I said schmocking, and that was smocking. Anyway. And Russ and Sue were also, they had a part of a, well, they started a ministry called Sports Outreach, which is an evangelistic ministry, which they use sports as a means to go everywhere and share the gospel with
What is it, athletes?
Kids. Athletes in Action.
Action?
Yeah,
it's not the same,
okay. But it's similar to that. But Russ and Sue's relationship was just incredible. They both loved the Lord. They had really different backgrounds as far as coming to the Lord, but they meshed beautifully in their work and in their marriage. Mm-hmm. Just impressive to us.
So were they more like a mentor to you guys or
role model? We felt that they were. It wasn't really a stated relationship that we had as them being our role models or mentors, but we definitely looked up to them in that way. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Very godly couple.
It is helpful when looking around, okay, what do I want our marriage to look like and who's displaying that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly.
And having people that we can point to is, well, it's just kind of, I guess, the way we're created, right?
So true. So true.
Okay. What do you do for your devotion or Bible reading disciplines? What do those look like? And it's okay if you don't have them.
No, it's not.
Why? What are yours?
We'll talk later.
Okay.
We'll come up with one real quick.
Yeah.
Quick before the night breaks out.
Well, we each have our own. I don't like the term quiet time. I've just never.
It's been worn out, hasn't it?
Yeah. But a time where we just, you know, scripture reading, prayer, and that. We each do that on our own in the mornings because our schedules are just such. Mm-hmm. I think Michelle wants to get up as early as I.
Yeah. I'm not a morning person.
I was going to say, what's your sweet time in the morning?
Oh. Well, I get up at 5:30 each morning.
That's early.
Good for you, bro.
Throw it in. Get it in that time.
If the sun ain't up, I'm not up.
Well, around here this time of year,
you're in trouble.
Spent a lot of time in bed.
I revealed too much.
But we end the day together in prayer, and Michelle has we were reading poetry.
Oh, wow.
And then...
I was twisting his arm to read the poetry.
We read Jane Eyre together many years ago.
Well, that's not poetry, and it's not devotions.
Well, the poetry was separate from the devotional.
Yeah, I mean, we had a devotional thing. Then...
All right, can I just interject here?
The reason we started,
it was a book of Robert Frost poetry, and I didn't know we were going to get into this. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you know this, but in Derry, New Hampshire, is Robert Frost's former home.
Right.
And I, being a nerdy English major, want to go to visit Robert Frost's poems. I mean, Robert Frost's homestead. And so I thought, well, we should do a little bit of reading up before we go visit.
Right.
And Brian wasn't that familiar with his poetry, except for maybe like Stopping by Woods, you know, one of the more famous ones.
There were two out of the whole book.
That's more than I know.
So we went through this whole book, and every night he was like, do we have to read that? And I'd be like, well, let's read two or three of these. I'm like, no, just one.
Are they long?
Most of them are not.
No.
Yeah. Some of them are lengthy.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got through the book.
They seemed long.
But you do that together in the evening?
We did that, yeah. We jumped into bed and we just kind of closed the day. And it's like, all right, it's poetry time.
That's nice.
Well, he didn't think so.
Yeah.
He's looking back though and saying.
Yeah. Well, maybe not the content, but doing it together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We like to read together.
And we joked about it that I was dragging my heels.
Kicking and screaming.
To get into
well, some it, of them but... we would say, I don't even know what that one's about.
Right. Poetry's always been hard for at least my brain to go, what does that mean?
Yeah.
So
true. For me, if it didn't rhyme, it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right. Look at it. Yeah.
So do you have what's the word? Do you use a devotional when you do your...
We have a devotional that we've been going through. Well, we change it up. So we get through one and move on to the next one.
Yes.
Most devotions are set up to do in a whole year, but we don't really follow the schedule.
Right.
Just when we get through it, we get through it.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of gives you a framework to start your day and to get into the word and to pray.
And this is more to end our day. And then... once we finished the poetry, is that why you started with the poetry? Because once we finished that book, we thought, well, that was kind of fun, or I thought that was kind of fun. So let's find another.
Well, I was elated when it was over.
I know, but then I wanted to do another book of poetry, and you're like, no more poetry. So we decided to take the hymnal, and we're reading through hymns.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's been a cool experience.
There is a book out there, and I think it's called Then Sings My Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hymn, and then the story behind that hymn. I'll have to remember that to get that to you guys.
Yeah. All right. Are you retired? And if so, how does this affect your marriage?
So the short answer is
no.
You're not retired. But I am.
Okay. So 50-50. Yeah.
That's what we were just trying to decide. Is this a good question? Because we don't know. So we're just, you know, put it out there.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. We're like, well, what if they're not retired? Then what do we ask?
Well,
half of them are retired?
Half of them are.
Yeah.
And I didn't intend to retire. It's just that we moved here.
Okay.
And so I quit my job in Maryland.
Okay.
And, so I'm still trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah. Well, this is good because it kind of, I think, holds hands with the next
It does.
Questions.
Yeah. So what are your plans or aspirations for your future together? That's kind of a hard question.
This turned out to be a hard one for and it does go along with the retirement question.
Right.
For me, I thought at this stage in my life that I would be able to retire, and reality moved in, and that's
for sure.
That's just not the case. I was glad when Michelle stopped working. Because I just thought that I didn't think she wanted to, for one, as she liked her job, previous job. But
were you teaching?
No, I was in children's ministry at our former church.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. What age group?
I was the children's director over all of children's ministry.
All children.
Yeah.
Okay.
So birth through fifth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say, but my aspiration was that, I would retire and just do woodworking as a supplement to whatever we needed for income. But, that didn't happen.
It's still a goal of yours.
It's
a
still
dream of yours.
That is still
like
my
it's
aspiration.
Back, yeah. Right.
It's pushed
yeah.
back.
Right.
Yeah.
Our timing isn't always our timing.
Right.
No.
Right.
No.
Right.
And
that's
our
hard part.
And our ideals and hopes aren't always in God's plan, so we have to be
that's
flexible
so
with that.
So true.
Yeah.
So you guys are busy with grandchildren, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we mentioned in our introduction, you guys are part of our marriage ministry, which is
here at the church, right?
Here at the church.
Very excited
awesome.
About that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And it is hard sometimes to figure out what do I want to do in the future? Because mm-hmm. you get to so many places where you have these plans and ideas and they just continue to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is hard just to put your hands in the air and say, Lord, whatever you ask, you know.
Well, especially when you've lived more life, right? And you get to the place where, okay, now I get to think about what does the rest of my days look like. Mm-hmm. And then you're dealing with aging and, you know, all those layers that yeah. changes.
Phases of life.
What happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never mind. I think our big goal is we want to finish well.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a great one.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is a phrase I am learning to really pay attention to because so many don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's almost alarming to me a little bit.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. All right. What has surprised you about your marriage?
About marriage, period.
About marriage.
About marriage, yes.
I think that communication can be so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for sure.
Meaning what?
Just understanding each other,
yeah.
saying what you mean and conveying that meaning
mm-hmm.
to your spouse, pressing on
mm-hmm.
to keep communicating when there's been miscommunication, mm. not getting frustrated and then giving up on it.
Yeah. Nobody really prepares us, right, for that.
Right.
We're going in.
We yeah. weren't. Yeah.
It's like, you're going to miscommunicate. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll deal with it.
Yeah. And we are so opposite on just about everything.
Mm.
So that's been interesting.
So is opposites attract a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, look how they work together.
I think both. I think it yeah. can be either. Yeah. You know, it just depends what you do with it.
Yeah. It's so interesting how different we are as mm-hmm. men and women. And we're created by God, right? But just how we process and how it's a challenge. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, as far as communications is concerned, I'm more of a just a kind of a back off and analyze it and
thinker.
And yeah, I'm a very deep thinker. Yeah. Yeah. If you know me, you know that's not the case. Reserved to the point of you know, backing away. Mm-hmm. And Michelle isn't that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a
nice way of putting it.
And that's a and that's a frustration. That's a frustration to her, and you know, I understand that. And yeah. trying
well,
to
and
work
I think
on
my,
it.
My wanting to communicate more can be a frustration to you.
Yes.
At times.
Yes.
Yeah.
My dad, years ago, when Mark and I had just gotten married, I don't know, a couple of years in, and my dad was not. It was a very complicated relationship that I had with him. He was my stepdad. So I didn't receive a lot of what he would say, but I knew when the Lord used him to speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember clearly him telling me that I needed to back off
mm-hmm.
from how I was communicating with Mark.
Mm-hmm.
He saw something and knew something that I was given opportunity to either you're going to listen and do this or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to listen. And it I think, honestly, it was life-giving to our relationship.
To both of us, because then it put me in a position that I needed to step up to the plate and to communicate
mm-hmm.
more, you know, at least respond. You know, if she says something, grunt, do something, you know. I heard you. Yeah.
I was like, where did you go? I know you're thinking.
So grunting is considered communication.
You can start there. You won't get very far.
Shall we ask that to Michelle?
Yeah,
with me?
Yeah, really.
Anything else you think is a surprise about marriage?
I think how quickly time has passed.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wow, we've almost been married 44 years.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
you know? So in a sense, how, I don't want to say how easy it's been, but, you know, it's just like, Brian's an easy guy to love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Amen.
It's a great affirmation. We're going to end the questions on that because that's a high note.
That's great.
Yeah. So
that's the first segment of questions. So now what we're going to do for fun is
I forgot about this
part. Yeah, we have a few words that we're going to just put out there. And I want you guys to share the first things that come to your mind. Okay. All right, here we go.
I'm nervous.
No pressure. There's only seven of them.
Okay. Where are the seatbelts?
All right, social media.
Overrated.
Okay.
Okay. What is it?
You're not on it, are you?
I'm not on it, and I dislike it just from afar.
All right, favorite TV show or movie?
Oh, this is such a hard one.
It's hard to pick one.
It is. Well, we really, really like Doc Martin. That might be
okay. Oh. Yeah, that's what,
one of our
that's
favorites.
What we're looking for. Give us a flavor.
Yeah,
of what you guys like.
That's good.
Yeah,
a movie, a standout for me. I often watch it is Cinderella Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Russell Crowe.
I thought you were going to say
Anne of Green Gables.
That would be mine.
Uh-huh. Ditto.
I thought you were going to do that alien movie that you like that I hate.
Oh.
I hate alien movies.
Close Encounters of the First.
Okay. Science fiction is your kind of your
not
thing,
so much
or,
for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't consider that science fiction.
Oh, don't you?
It's real.
Sci-fi. I don't know what they call it anymore.
It meant something.
This means something.
Right, right. Spoke to you, so that's okay.
And I'm never watching that movie again.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours I cannot get back.
Those are gone.
We've had a few of those. It's like, what a waste of time.
Well, I'll take too much time telling this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
You got the mic.
In that movie, there's just one. I was a film major. So there was one scene in that film that just, I don't know, for me, at the time, a cinematographer, it just blew me away. Mm-hmm. And Francois Truffaut was in the movie. And okay, Brian, you're a nerd. Go ahead. Never mind.
All that went right over my head.
Probably
someone out there's gonna get it. They'll be laughing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, so. I think the only alien movie I enjoyed was E.T.
E.T.
Yeah. That was it.
See, that was science fiction.
Right. Okay. Written or typed?
What are you asking? What?
Do you prefer it handwritten, or if you're taking notes, do you do it with, pen and paper or type?
Oh, pen and paper for me, for certain.
Yeah.
Well, I've switched recently. Like I do notes in church on my app, so I'm typing it into my phone.
Right.
I'm not doing social media during worship.
Yeah. I know. I've had to analyze a lot who do. Yeah, they just had a statistic. That came out with young children, they thought it would be more helpful for them learning on a computer screen and all this. And they're finding the kids are actually learning better. And I don't know what brought them back to the pen and paper thing, but they're finding that these kids are learning better when they put the pen to paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Writing it down. Some people call it journaling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay. Favorite destination?
Where your grandkids
Aruba.
Are.
Aruba.
That was fun.
We've been to Aruba.
We took a trip to Aruba. That was a lot of fun.
You'd go back, I think.
Maybe. I'm not the kind of person that wants to repeat things. Yeah. I want a new experience every time.
But you'd go back if you read poetry at night.
Okay. We'll do it.
If I would read it, if I would promise to read it.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Exercise.
Sometimes.
All right.
Way overrated.
Way overrated. That's up there with social media. Right. Okay. Rest.
Indefinitely. Definitely rest. Yes.
Brian.
I love rest.
Yeah. I wish
what
I
does
rest.
Rest look like to you guys? Yeah. Is it just maybe it's canoeing, you know, or is it reading, or, you know, is it sleeping?
Rest for me isn't just sitting down and doing nothing. No, yeah. I mean, it's restful to paddle for me.
Yeah.
It's restful to be working on some project that, you know, I'm not under the gun to get it done or something like that.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. For me, I like doing a project and listening to an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
I find that restful.
Too. When I'm cleaning or dishes or whatever.
Yeah,
my audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last one.
Ooh, this is.
I'll let you ask it.
Oh, thanks. Politics.
Oh boy.
Hate them?
I'm not super into politics. You know, I like to keep abreast sort of what's going on in the news, but I don't really dig in and get into it.
I don't know that a lot of people are right now. They're just so disenchanted in a lot of ways. But being in an election year, I thought,
why not?
Let's ask the question. All right, Brian.
This is a hard year.
It is.
It's a hard year. Yeah.
I enjoy politics.
Okay.
I like
all those radio talk shows,
yeah,
and I hate them.
I do listen to
music. Calm.
That's when you put on your audiobooks, right?
I listen too much of talk radio, I think.
It just feels like people shouting at each other to me.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's angry. It's, you know,
yeah,
close-minded.
But it does help me to work out some things in my mind as far as
mm-hmm.
policy is concerned, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I think it just frustrates me.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Mark will come home and want to hear the news, and I get that. I let him.
It's my poetry.
I too want to know what's happening, you know, but it, honest to goodness, it's like a soap opera.
Yeah, we're at that point now. If we get the headlines, figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And,
trust,
like we heard this morning in the sermon, mm-hmm. that the Lord's in control.
Right.
He is king. And he's over all of it. So, well, we made it.
We made it.
We are so thankful for you
Bravo.
Guys coming.
This was great.
Yeah.
We do. Thank you so much for just taking this little bit of time out of your Sunday. We're doing this after church.
Yeah, we are.
So we just want to thank you guys for being here.
Well, thank you for hosting.
Yeah.
This is, we love the podcast. Awesome. I like listening to you guys.
Awesome.
Do a good job.
Now you're a part of it.
Wow. Who would have thought? Not something we expected.
Amen. Well, in closing, we do want to bring before you still what's going on here at the First Baptist Church with the marriage ministry. Is that this spring we're going to continue with our date night dinners. Stay posted for those. Those are typically the first Friday of the month that we have them. The second thing is our ministry is putting together what we call a marriage mentoring ministry. And so just going to draw in some couples that can come alongside other couples, whether it's newlyweds or people that are going to be married or maybe been married a while, to just assist them or just share life with them. We thought that would be very encouraging. And on the note of encouragement, I just want to end with scripture. It's found in Hebrews 3, verses 13 and 14. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. Thanks for joining us, everybody.